Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Corporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. Speaking about medical, guess what I have across from me today here at Substation 2? Dr. Joanna Jackson. She is the department chair over at Winthrop University for management, marketing, whatever, healthcare. I mean, I can never follow all these titles. So I'm going to let her do some introductions. Hello, Dr. Jackson. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about you.
So I've been at Winthrop for about 6 years. I moved here after finishing my doctorate at Indiana University in Indianapolis. I'm in health policy and management, and so I've been here teaching our healthcare management program.
Okay. So is this right when it says department chair for management, and is it healthcare management and marketing?
It's management and marketing. So we have a number of concentrations. Healthcare management is one of them. We also have logistics and supply chain, marketing, entrepreneurship. We have an HR track, general management track. So it's a big department, okay. The largest on campus.
When we say large, how many?
We have about 300 majors and about 130 so minors.
Oh my
for students,
gosh.
Yeah. Big.
And how many teachers or professors, whatever, to do that?
Yeah, we have about 10 or 11 full-time faculty, and we use about 5 or 6 adjuncts, too.
Popular career to get into?
Very popular. Very popular.
I mean, I was just mentioning this to you before we went on the air. What's amazing to me is the number of vacancies that there are in this healthcare field across the country. I mean, we got it right here in York County, but across the whole country.
Yeah.
What is causing all that?
Yeah, a couple of things. One, it's the aging of our population. As our healthcare gets better, we live longer, we live healthier, which takes a lot of technology and new medications and all of that, and a lot of hospitals and facilities to help care for us as we age. So that's probably the biggest. And the other is sort of the retirement age of many of our professions. So a good 40% of dentists are nearing retirement age. Same for physicians. Nurses are about 50-something percent. So healthcare in general has, you know, we're balancing the aging of our population and the aging of our professions too.
Yet we have the baby boomers in full bloom. They got more of them coming to the medical offices and the hospitals for treatment, and there's not enough people there to treat them.
Not enough, but we're trying at Winthrop to help improve that, and our students are too.
So with all the different possibilities that there are in healthcare, what do you find to be the most popular track?
Yeah, for our students, healthcare management. Yeah, so a lot of our students go into practice management. So, you know, your doctor's office, your primary care, your cardiologist office. So they are the ones in management over that. That's a pretty popular career option. We have plenty of students who do pharmaceutical sales and medical device sales after, especially the students who aren't who are sales oriented and maybe not interested in a master's just yet. That seems to be pretty popular for them too.
So we don't do. That's not true. We don't have a medical school over here at Winthrop, but we can take an undergraduate and stuff them full of all kinds of scientific course loads that they would need to go on to the next step if they wanted to actually get into nursing or wanted to get into becoming a physician?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of the pre-med students do biology or chemistry. Statistics is also a really good major for pre-med. They do the best on the MCAT. And then we just started a new degree program, which is a bachelor's in health sciences that will launch in fall, which is a good track for students who are maybe considering nursing school or PA school or something else after us.
So, I mean, why do you think the most popular thing is practice management and not becoming a nurse or becoming a PA or becoming a doctor?
Yeah.
Why?
So I think we have the strongest students on campus. I know other faculty would want to argue that, but this is why. I think our students are equally as concerned and motivated by helping others. They know there's more than one way to save a life. A lot of them don't want the blood and guts and other things that come along with it. And the benefit of healthcare management is you get to do that, and you get to create a wonderful life for yourself. It is such a broad field. There's a book called 101 Healthcare Management Jobs, and I think we could probably double that, you know, just sitting here talking through it. And so our students are really strong because they're equally motivated by both. They want a good life. The average salary for healthcare managers is about $100,000, and that's with bachelor's entry. There's endless number of jobs. It's growing 36% faster than the average industry. And so you get this balance without the icky stuff.
Not the icky stuff. But we got to have somebody do the icky stuff.
We got to have somebody do the icky stuff.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Mm. So work-life play balance is very, very important. More important to this generation, let's say, than to my generation.
Agreed. I hear that a lot in class. Students want financial stability, but they value their lives and their free times and their hobbies, and maybe don't work in the same way generations before them. And so that's one of the reasons why it's so popular.
So I'm sitting here, you know, we're graduating all these students to be practice managers. Mm-hmm. Well, what are they going to manage if we don't if we don't have the healthcare workers?
Very true.
I mean, do you see this amongst your peers in other schools, the same trend?
Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest things is sometimes it's just the program. So like nursing, there's been a shortage of nurses for decades, but there aren't enough nursing faculty, right, to fill that. And so there's wait lists at all the schools. And so that's part of, you know, and the same thing with med school, right? They only admit so many. There's only so many they can take every year. And so it sort of slows our progress in able to fill it. There's plenty of people who want to do those, but it's just not the easiest path to get in. Sometimes it takes a couple extra tries, a couple extra classes, and that can be challenging.
So we now have a brand new medical school, mm-hmm. right up in that suburb to the north. I think it's called Charlotte.
Yeah. I think I've heard of it.
You heard of that. And it's beautiful. I mean, this whole combination of Wake Forest University getting together, I guess, with Atrium. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you add in all these other things. They've created what they call the Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see the buildings that they have built for all this, whew.
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it is beautiful. Mm. So I'm wondering, because I know you deal with Winthrop's big in partnerships. Mm-hmm. Are you all chit-chatting with the Pearl yet about things that the Winthrop students could be doing up there?
Yeah, we've had good conversations, and hopefully some really good things come out of it. It's exciting that Charlotte is getting a med school, and hopefully eventually even an academic medical center, which is my favorite type of hospital. MUSC, if you think of that in Charleston, those type of hospitals usually give the best care because you have so many people touching the patient, right? You get kind of annoyed when so many people come into your room, but it's better to have so many people looking at your chart and double-checking and talking about it. And so I'm excited for Charlotte and for all of us, really.
So if a partnership were to come about, mm-hmm. what would they be, I mean, what would they be teaching or showing or whatever the students that they're not learning in the classroom? Just hands-on stuff?
Yeah, hands-on stuff is the biggest. I mean, in our department, we're really big on experiential learning. Nearly all of our upper-level classes have something involved in that. And so, because we can teach them all the theory and all the things that should do or could do, but it's different when you're in practice, right? Mm-hmm. And so the more we can have more experiential learning experiences, the better. We want students out of the classroom as much as possible.
So you feel pretty good about these discussions? Something's going to come out of this?
I hope so. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are you leading those?
No, I've been a part of a few, and I know of some others that are going on around me, too.
Good. Yeah. Well, when do you have a field trip with the Pearl? Would you call me? Because I'd like to go see that thing.
Oh, I'd be happy to. I'll let you know.
I mean, that thing is, have you seen it? Have you
no,
seen
I
the
haven't.
Building?
I haven't, but I've heard about it.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, it's quite amazing. The other thing is what it's drawing to this area. I mean, these big, large life science companies are coming and getting involved with all the research and all the stuff. Mm-hmm. It's going to be quite a complex when it's all done.
Yeah, it's good for the area. I mean, healthcare broadly is an important industry. Obviously, we need it, but it's good for jobs, right? It's a pretty stable industry. Usually, AI just enhances it, doesn't replace it, and so it's good for the area.
Well, I knew you were going to mention it sooner or later. AI.
Good old AI. Yeah.
I really don't even understand the first thing about AI.
Yeah.
I know it's there, and it helps a lot of people in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So from your perspective, having to teach healthcare management and run a department that does all that, how is AI configuring into what you do?
Yeah, we're still learning as we go. We are working on a number of projects and ways to incorporate it into the classroom more because we know that students will be using it in their careers, you know. So learning things like prompt engineering, how to get it to give you the right output, not just any output, making sure that it's correct, things like that. So teaching them now how to enhance their careers with the tool.
Are you finding students are using the tool the way you don't want them to use it?
Well.
Yeah, be honest now.
Yeah, so I think we're at a good place with it. At first, I think the last 2 years have been difficult, right? You've seen more and more use of it just to write the whole paper with little sort of prompt engineering, little sort of input on how to make the paper better or write. So there is, you know, misuse of it for sure, but I think we're at a good place where the faculty are understanding it better and finding ways to incorporate it better so that students are able to use it, but use it and still gain the critical thinking skills you need.
So I'm guessing that when you start a class, before you get into the first lesson, we have a few things we need to understand between each other. I know this tool is out there called AI. Don't you be bringing me a paper that's written by AI.
I say it probably 10 times. It's in the first lecture. It's on the syllabus. It's online. I make that pretty clear. Yeah.
Are most of the classes now in person, or are they online classes?
Yes, so the majority of our classes are in person, but we have, like, for instance, management track. You can do that nearly entirely online.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Entirely online.
Nearly,
jeez. Woo. And, you know, if it's one thing that COVID has taught us is that sending students home to learn off of a TV screen didn't work out too well.
True.
And yet, we're teaching all these classes online?
Yeah. You have to be really creative, and you have to be up to date on technology, you know, and AI to learn how to use it. But there are some really good ways to make sure students still feel a part of a community, even though they're online, to still feel like they're getting the same experience. So the best teachers know how to do it well.
And your job is to find the best teachers.
Exactly.
Wow. You all up to snuff? You have everybody you need?
Yeah. I mean, right now we do. Hopefully we'll have some openings soon, but right now we do. Yeah.
So the demand for this healthcare field is very real. Lots of people want to get into it. But as you're pointing out, most people want to be in the administrative part of it. They're not into the actual hands-on taking care of patients and whatnot. So I'm just wondering, from your perspective, what is it going to take to get more interest from America's future into these fields where they're actually dealing with the patients?
Yeah, I think COVID definitely changed that. We even saw a decrease in students in wanting to be in healthcare management, too. There was a fear at the time, and students didn't want to be at the front lines or there. And so we're seeing some of that demand pick back up. I do think the biggest thing is capacity. You know, there are plenty of students who want to be nurses, plenty of students that want to go to med school. We just don't have the capacity to train them. There aren't enough spots. Nursing in particular, you can make so much money not teaching. Right? If you're at the bedside, if you're doing things in a facility, you generally get paid more. So recruiting more nurses to teach would be a big thing, too.
Well, I think what came out of COVID, at least from a nurse's perspective, is that they can pretty much write their own ticket now.
Yeah.
I mean, bonuses to sign on. You've got flexible hours in terms of when you want to work. We'll work a schedule around you. Yeah. I mean, that kind of stuff didn't exist before COVID.
Yeah.
But now it's out there just as clear as it could be.
Yeah, yeah. COVID definitely sort of highlighted the importance of nurses. I mean, we've always known nurses were important, and they've been ranked 24 years in a row, I think, the most respected profession. But they weren't always paid, according to that. And so definitely COVID sort of changed and gave them more power. Our friends as nurses making a lot more now than they did before COVID.
But still not where it needs to be in terms of... This will take us to a whole other realm called insurance. But I mean, really, what's going to probably happen if this capacity issue continues to grow, then people are going to have to pay more money to get nurses in there. And that's going to just filter on down to who's paying the bill and who's reimbursing on that bill.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen.
Absolutely. Patients ultimately pay the price of it, right? And, you know, 20% of your medical bills are just administrative tasks, not even just, you know, what your nurses and doctors are doing. And so we have to fix the issue. We have to fix capacity. We have to get more students in nursing and graduated. I mean, we don't really have an option.
I think you ought to have a class where you bring in somebody from the insurance industry and just let the students fire at them as to why aren't you doing this, why aren't you doing that, and that's what's causing this problem in the backlog.
Yeah, we should open that up to the community, too, because I'm sure they have some questions about how things are working or not working, yeah.
Well, all right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break and remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, so she is going to make her debut now, along with everybody else. Well, they know what we're going to do here. We do fresh subs and salads at Substation 2 between 10 in the morning, and we do it between 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters, and everybody's going to bellow it out together at the count of three. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Emergencies can't wait. That's why Piedmont Medical Center is always here and always prepared. Whether you're dealing with chest pain, a broken bone, severe stomach pain, or another urgent issue, count on Piedmont Medical Center to care for you when you need it most. We proudly provide 24/7 emergency care in Rock Hill and at our two locations in Fort Mill. Let us know you're on your way to one of our three ERs. Check in online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com/ER.
Has your credit seen better days? At Founders Federal Credit Union, we get it. Life happens. That's why we offer personal and auto loans that help you move forward with flexible terms and a team that sees more than just a number. You don't need a perfect credit to start your next chapter. Visit FoundersFCU.com, our local office today. Founders, helping you do life on your terms. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Community, it's what Comporium is all about. For over 130 years, we have served our customers like neighbors and friends because we live here too. Comporium remains committed to keeping our thriving community growing and connected, delivering the gigabit speeds and same-day service you expect from your internet provider, improving the lives of those around you with deep community roots and people who know your name and care. That's Comporium. Online at Comporium.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place. Enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Joanna Jackson is with us. She is the department chair over at Winthrop University. And I don't know whether I got this right or not, but she's in healthcare management. You know, anything involving healthcare management, she's involved with. Is that about correct?
That sounds right.
That sounds good enough. Okay. What does your business card say?
It says chair of the Department of Management Marketing and associate professor of healthcare management.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
You were right.
Okay. Close enough. So you tell me off the air that this is the 30th anniversary?
Yeah, yeah. So we're celebrating, since 1996, healthcare management as a concentration in the College of Business.
Really? I wonder how that all came about. You have no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think it started as a Bachelor's of Health Administration, so it wasn't a concentration. I think that was in the 80s, and then in 1996 it was made a concentration.
So when you look at the department now, since you chair it, and you've got all these different majors that you can go into it, is there anything missing that you want to add?
Yeah, so I don't know if this counts as missing, but we are getting aviation and business management that may be starting in fall of next year or the year after. So that's an exciting addition.
I just had Sebastian Van Delden on here last week, and I was out there for that announcement. Were you there?
I wasn't.
You should have been out.
Yeah.
There must have been 200 people out there. It was amazing. And the fact that Winthrop is partnering with ACES Flying School out there to teach not only aviation management, but if somebody wants to actually fly, you're going to be able to work through your various degrees and get in that cockpit and get going.
Expecting a large amount of demand for that.
I think you would, yes. Yeah. And that's a very healthy career. You easily make six figures and multiples of six figures if you get enough time in the cockpit. Good for you. So the students, and you've been there 6 years now.
Yeah.
You've seen them come and you've seen them go.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me one or two success stories from students who have left Winthrop and boom, because of what they learned at Winthrop, look what they're doing now.
Yeah, we have a number of those. We could take it the whole time just on how successful our students are. I mean, I do say that we have the best students. And we have a student right now. He just was accepted into Cornell and Brown and Emory and Texas A&M for his Master's of Health Administration program, and lots of scholarship offers for that, too. And we have students who are CEOs of hospitals now. We have, and just in the last 4 years, we've had students be accepted to all of the top 10 MHA, so that's Master's of Health Administration programs in the country. We have a student at Chapel Hill and a program. We have students in South Carolina. We have plenty of students at MUSC. And so our students who go on to grad school have really good outcomes and go to amazing schools. And so that's really exciting. And then we have plenty of students who are doing really big things in the community and have really good jobs and are we're really, really, really proud of.
You should be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very interesting and we talked a lot about this with Sebastian. How the curriculum has changed here over the last 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's very career oriented now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you walk out of that institution, you should be able to walk right into whatever it is you've been training yourself in.
Yeah.
And that's a lot to do with these partnerships that you've put together. But I think also, you know, Winthrop's getting the reputation, solid students that can do a job for us.
Yeah, our department is really big on this in general. We want to make sure students leave us and can be financially stable. And they do that by being career ready, right? So we have a big focus on this, and we do this in three ways. One is professional development. So we work in professional development in most of our classes. You know, my class has built-in days. We call them professional practice days, where we're not just learning and lecturing. They're in groups. They're doing activities, things that simulate real-world activities. And so we try to work those in. Last semester, our theme was branding yourself. So we had sessions and speakers sort of mixed into classes to help students start on that process. The other is experiential learning. I think I mentioned most of our upper level classes are doing work with real businesses. We have a marketing class doing work with local businesses, an art shop right up the street. Last semester, they worked with two boutiques, one in Rock Hill and one in Fort Mill. Our entrepreneurship students are working on business plans for actual small businesses and entrepreneurs. So we're building in that kind of stuff. And the last is, societal impact, so community service. In the last 3 years, our students have given 5,000 hours of community service just in our classes to the Rock Hill community. They're working as mentors in middle schools and elementary schools. They're working with Back the Pack, helping that class, you know, pack things that go over there weekly. And so we think it's important because we want students to serve the community, hopefully fall in love with it and stay in the community, but also get the mutually beneficial skills of, you know, communication and managing projects. And so we try to work those into all of our classes.
Good. You want a student to be well-rounded.
I do.
Absolutely.
You
do. So most students, I would think, enter a university like Winthrop, and they probably don't have the foggiest idea what it is that really is going to light their fire.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons you go, to figure out what's what. Is there a formalized process at Winthrop, let's just say, whereby we could take somebody like him who shows absolutely no hope for anything and figure out what makes him tick and how to plug him into the right thing?
Yeah, there are a number of things. We have our Career Development Institute, which does have testing and helps you explore. And then, of course, you have your gen ed classes to help sort of introduce you to different majors and careers. Our Introduction to Healthcare Management is one of those. It counts as a social science. So most students don't grow up saying, they say doctor, lawyer, or engineer. They don't say healthcare manager, which is too bad because I think it's better than all of those. taking that intro class, it counts whether you like it or not. It counts towards graduation, and it exposes you to the careers and potential.
So how did you ever get so turned on to healthcare management?
Yeah, so I've been in healthcare my entire life. I went to a vocational high school. So since 15, I was doing, nursing assistant, medical assistant, phlebotomy. And then I went on to nursing school. So I have my undergrad, RN, and then I got a master's in nursing administration. And there I was working as a manager. I managed an inpatient psych unit, and I just realized sort of this disconnect between academia and practice and policy and practice more than anything. There were all these rules that kept me from doing the job I felt like I needed to, and so I wanted to learn more about that and just to be a better manager. And so I didn't know I'd be teaching. I thought I'd go back to hospitals, but I just fell in love with students.
Do you miss being out there on the floor?
Some days, but I think I've just traded patients for students, and so now I just sort of adopt them and treat them like they're my patients, especially in class.
So what do you tell a young incoming freshman mm-hmm. who might just grace your doorway and say, I'd like to sit down and chat. What is this thing called healthcare management, and mm-hmm. why is it something I should be interested in? What would you tell them?
I tell them that we have an unemployment rate of 1% in our field. I mean, I don't personally, anecdotally, know anyone who's in healthcare management that is looking for a job and doesn't have one. And that's just not true of a lot of fields, especially the way AI is changing things. So that's one of the first things I tell them. I definitely tell them that we have an average salary of $100,000, that it's growing 36% faster than all other industries and jobs. I tell them that it is incredibly broad. If you want to see patients, you can. If you don't ever want to see patients ever, you don't want to be in a hospital, there are still tons of jobs there for you. And it is stable. Where do you live where there's not healthcare? And where is there healthcare where there's not a manager, right? And if that is true, then you may not want to live that far away from the healthcare in the first place, right? And so it is a very stable, open, broad career. That usually sells them.
I was going to say that pretty well. That's a slam nugget.
Yeah.
So when they leave Winthrop, is graduate school almost a necessity?
So not all of our students, a good percentage of them do. I think it really depends on their goals. So if they're thinking hospital administration, C-suite, absolutely. And MHA is really important, and sometimes an MBA too. But we have students who are completely uninterested in grad school. They just want to make good money, and we have students who are really successful doing that too.
Do you foresee, with all these changes that are going on in Winthrop, we got have an honors college over there now, that there will be eventually some type of a graduate degree, master's degree opportunity in healthcare?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked. So we just added a healthcare management concentration to our MBA. So it's not a master's of health administration, but it is a concentration. So you'll take all of the MBA classes, and then you'll take two separate healthcare management classes, one taught by me and one taught by Dr. Matthews, that give you foundations in healthcare systems and also help you improve the quality and performance of healthcare systems.
And if you can live through a class with Mike Matthews,
then
you're ready to go out into the big old world.
That's true.
So when you do that, that makes you more attractive to a graduate school that you want to try to get into, saying that you've had this?
Yeah, so a lot of our students have been really successful getting into the top programs for a couple of reasons. And the biggest is that we do a ton of experiential learning, that we said. A lot of our students have gone on to grad school doing student research in the area, which boosts their application. They're very involved in Winthrop community. I mean, I say we have the best students, and that's why they've been so successful getting into grad schools.
Well, Dr. Joanna Jackson, you have passed your first review here on Straight Talk. We will recommend you for higher and better things over at Winthrop University, okay? But thank you for joining us today. It's been very interesting. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2. Cherry Road Across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax here with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. So you did so good the first time around, Doc, you get to do it again. It's called Fresh Subs and Salads. We do it 6 days a week here at Substation 2. How we do it is in the white letters, and we're all going to chime in together at the count of three. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
That'll wake you up. Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.